In Romans 12 and verse 2, you all know verse 1, I hope. In verse 2 of Romans 12, he says, be not conformed to this world. That is, do not be cast in the same mold. Be not conformed to this world. There are many things which a Christian might do, but he feels that he cannot do those things because they're dishonoring to his Savior. I don't know that we always need to say this to our non-Christian friends. I'm not sure that it's always wise to say, no, I don't do that because I am a Christian. I don't think they're going to be very disturbed if you don't particularly care about some of the things that they do. You can always suggest something else that you can do together in order to win their friendship. But in any case, there must be a difference. And that difference must be in our own thoughts, in our own desires, our own interests. I must remember that this world and the spirit of this world is determined by Satan himself. This is called in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, the course of this world. Now, you know that when you fly a plane or when you sail a boat, you set a course. You may deviate from that course somewhat, but the general course of your direction, we'll say, is southeast. And that's your course. You've set for yourself a southeast course. You may have to check your course occasionally, but you do have a course. Somebody asked a tramp how he decided where to go every morning. He said, well, I always look to see which way the wind's blowing and go with the wind in my back. I think that's a good idea for a tramp. But I hate to go through life like that, wouldn't you? Am I going to set my course by the course of this world? Am I going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine? Am I going to be influenced by every fashion that comes out of Paris? Am I going to be led by every whim of every philosopher with his stupid deduction? Am I? Or am I going to have my course? I mean, not my course, but the course which God set for me. The course of this world is not the course of a Christian. That's why he says, be not conformed to this world. As I said a while ago, this is not a matter of externals so much as it is a matter of internals. It's a matter of the heart being right. Separation without isolation. That's a good slogan, a good motto. But now, I must take the few minutes remaining to say something about how we overcome the world. First of all, recognize its character. That's what I've been trying to help you to do. Unless you believe what the Bible says about the world, you'll see no reason whatever for overcoming it. You'll say, well, I'm in it, I'm a part of it, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to go into the hills. That's the way a man of this world goes. A fellow said to me a while back, he said, I just go and I take my kicks where I can find them. I can understand that. He doesn't know anything better. Do you? Yes, you say, I think I do. All right, if we do, then let's recognize the course of this world, let's recognize the character of this world, and then let's do what we read together in 1 John 2, love not the world. There's one man in the New Testament who did love the world, and he stands as a perpetual warning to us. You'll read about him in 2 Timothy 4 and 10th verse. His name is Demas. By the way, Demas means popular. I don't know why his mother named him that, and I'm sure it was a hindrance to him. It says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened to Demas? That's the last we ever read of him. Before that, he was a helpful man. Paul spoke highly of him on one or two occasions. But when Demas turned to love the world, he was done. In our song, we sang a little while ago, we sang about battling the world. Don't do it. God has never given you any instructions for fighting the world. Oh, you say, I think we're supposed to improve it. Oh, you're mistaken again. There are no instructions in the New Testament for improving the world. Strange enough, you know, there are a lot of people trying to improve the world, and nearly all of us try to improve the flesh, but nobody tries to improve the devil. I don't know why.
Because they're all related. They're all of the same stamp. They're all cut out of the same cloth. You have no more authority from Scripture and no more power to change this world in which you live than you have to change the devil himself. I know you don't believe that. But you think it over. Where in the New Testament do we have any instructions at all for Christians improving this present world? God tells us exactly how it's going to happen, how it's going to end. And he says that at this present day he is taking out of Jews and Gentiles a people for his name's sake. There's nothing in the New Testament about converting the world. It's evangelizing the world that we're to do. And God is not going to improve the world. He has already condemned the world. You read that in John's Gospel, chapter 12. He has already condemned this world. He says, now, at my crucifixion, now is the judgment of this world. We're not here to improve it. We're here not to love it. Then, in Galatians chapter 6, if you'd like to read that with me, verse 14, I'm not going to go into this very much just now because I expect in our next session to say a little bit more about this subject of crucifixion. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now, crucifixion is the end of a person. When the Lord Jesus was crucified, this world never saw him again. They're going to, but they'll see him in an entirely different character. And you and I were crucified with Christ. This is not an experience. Anything that's said to be true of all Christians could not be experimental. It must be positional. It must be something which God has done. And this is the teaching. You cannot feel dead or play dead or act dead or pretend that you're dead or crucify yourself. There's nothing like that in the New Testament at all. It's realizing that this is the way God looks at me. God looks at me as a believer as though I was put on that cross when the Lord Jesus was put there. He took my place, but he counted me as having been put on that cross with him. So that was the end of John Walden in relation to this world, and that was the end of this world in relation to me. I can go back to it with a message, and the utmost of Christian love and friendliness, but I am not part of it. Now, unless I realize this, I'll never get any real deliverance from it. A nice picture of this in the Old Testament, if you want to take time to study it one of these days, is found in the children of Israel leaving Egypt and going into the land of Canaan. Now, in order to go from Egypt to Canaan, they could have gone up along the Gaza Strip, but instead of that, God led them to cross the Red Sea, go through the wilderness, and then cross the Jordan. Why? Because he wanted to teach them some lessons, and through them teach us some lessons. For he says in 1 Corinthians that these things happened to them in order that we might be taught. What are we to learn? When they crossed the Red Sea, they crossed it by going through the water. A cloud over the top, water, walls of water on each side. And Pharaoh's host coming in behind them were drowned in the sea. They were delivered from their former enemy and slave driver, Pharaoh. And Egypt is another picture of the world. They were delivered out of the world by passing through that experience. Then they came on up and crossed over the Jordan. And in passing through the Jordan, they were able to enter into what God had for them. When you realize that you have been put to death with the Lord Jesus, you realize you're not part of this world. You don't belong in this world. But you say, I don't feel that way. One more verse. Back to 1 John again, where we began. 1 John, this time the 5th chapter. How did you become a Christian? By feelings? Did you just suddenly one day feel that you were a Christian? If that's all you have, give it up. You haven't got a thing. Not worth taking home with you. If you just feel that you're a Christian, you don't have a thing. The New Testament tells us absolutely nothing about feeling that we're Christians. How do you know that you're a Christian? How do I know that I'm a Christian? These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I know it because God says it. Well, the same thing is true of our deliverance. Look at verse 4 of this fifth chapter of 1 John. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. He doesn't simply get eternal life. He doesn't simply escape judgment. He doesn't simply get a home in heaven. If he's really born of God, he overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. These things are going to be true to you and for you when you believe God. I tried to set before you the character of the world. I tried to set before you its influence. I tried to set before you the way of deliverance. This will become yours when you believe God. When you believe God that the world is like this. When you believe God that you have been crucified to this world. When you believe God that this liberation comes to you through the power of God, not through your own energy. That the Spirit of God, the new nature which he has put within you, is greater than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then you'll find that it's not a matter of effort, but it's a matter simply of turning from these things to get my eyes on my fatherland, my new home, and my heavenly Father, for whom I am down here in this world.